Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com. You're on BlogTalkRadio.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. Now, if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock here on Monday night evenings, we are glad to have you. And because the Lord is moving in a mighty way, it's my pleasure to now let you know that you can hear Live Deliverance broadcast on Facebook.com/events. www.blogtalkradio.com, livedeliverance.com. You can also listen to us on Apple on the podcast on podcast.apple.com/US and on the FM player series through playerfm.series/livedeliverance. As the Lord is releasing his glory all over the world, we'd like to ask you to get involved with this ministry. Invite some of your friends, family members, or co-workers to come and listen and be blessed. Don't forget that tonight's ministry will be made available for you to share with them about 10 minutes after the broadcast is finished. Just go to the website, look for livedeliverance.com, then look up Pastor Steve Lee and the date of the broadcast that you want to share with them. All right, now, so please go ahead and get a pen and some paper so that if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, I'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. And please know that I'm only here because of what the Lord said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto itself in love. Having said all of that, let me go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the word as we sanctify our time together. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Father, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, again, today we want to just kind of go back to seeing then. That's the topic, the subject that we have for this, so that we can prepare our hearts to do more. You know, we're coming up in a time that it's going to be required that the connection that we have in God, in the Spirit, is going to have to be strong enough to walk through all of the chaos, confusion, and frustration that's in the world. That's why he sent us his word, so that we can be more than conquerors. We can be overcomers. See, he's given us his word so that we can walk preordained steps, so that we can walk in victory, so that we can make a separation between the Goshen and the land of Egypt. So we can enter into our own Canaan in this time. You know, God has the ability to maintain you, support you, even in the middle of the mess. It doesn't matter to him. He wants us not to be moved by the mess, but rather to move the mess. Moving the mess in our life and in other people's lives. There are people that we are supposed to go to and give witness of the resurrection of Jesus so that they would say, okay, I need that in my life. See, we don't have to go and display for bragging rights. We are supposed to display so that we can help people get out of their mess, so that we can help people enjoy victory. That's why Jesus told us, last things he said to us was, go and make disciples of all men, teaching them. We have to teach them, show them, give them experiential knowledge that we lived in so that they can be invited into that. See? So just some things that we have to do. And in order to function like that, then we're going to have clarity in our own vision. Okay, let me say that right. Have clarity in our own spiritual vision. Okay? Not just clarity in our vision, because our vision can be sometimes a fleshy vision, a vision of desperation. Okay? But no, let's have a vision that Jesus already walked out, and we can simply walk in the steps that he has already made easy for us. Is that not what he said? His yoke is easy, his burden is light, that we're supposed to come and take his yoke upon you. The yoke of Christ is a connection that we have, just like in the biblical days, they had beasts of burden, oxen, that they would put a yoke on the oxen so that they could get more work done with the two than they could do by themselves or with the one. And we're supposed to be connected with Jesus, yoked with Jesus, so that as he goes, so go we. As he is, so are we. Okay? That's why it's seen then. I have a question for you about your process of understanding or your process of stabilizing your life. Let's turn to James chapter 1. Because the question is, can a double-minded man see clearly? Is a double-minded man seeing clearly? Okay? Or is he caught between two opinions, hoping maybe that this will work while he got this going on. You know, he can't be halt between two opinions. That was an interesting scripture to me. It says, how long will you be halt or stopped between two opinions? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing something, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trial is not supposed to work you, beloved. It's supposed to exercise or work perfection, work patience. It's supposed to, the word patience means being consistently, constantly the same. Okay? So if you're double-minded, do you think that you would be consistently, constantly the same? See, as he is, so are we. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? He has patience developed. Okay? Not the ability to endure. That's not the patience that he's talking about. A lot of times we have willpower that kicks in and gives us the ability to endure. Okay, we'll do it this way. You've gone to work or go to work, and as you go to work, you're enduring a time without any money because you are patient, see, consistently, constantly the same, going in, doing your job, knowing that at the end of the whatever time frame that is, 2 weeks, 1 month, every 15 days, whatever it is, you have that patience developed by will. Power. See, he's not just talking about that. He's saying he wants us to be consistently, constantly the same when things get goofy. That's why he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, tests, and trials. But you have to know something in order to count it joy. If you don't know something, you probably won't count it joy. Okay? Knowing this, that the trying or employing of your patience, of your faith, excuse me, employs patience. Then let patience have a perfect work with you that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, when your faith is worked because you have a believing heart, because you're seeing the end. Yesterday, a minister, friend of mine said these things and it really blessed me. He says, see, what God has done is he's given us a script and he's already wrote the ending out. And then he wants us, he picks us up in the middle so that we can go from the middle to the end again by the same steps and commands that Jesus did. And he likened that unto those of us that will record a football game, and we were going to be away from the house, so we recorded the game so we can watch it later. And when you go to the game and watch that which you've recorded, the end has already been settled. I can watch the beginning and get all excited because my team is ahead, and then might be a time that my team is not ahead, but I don't have to worry about that. Because the end is already settled. It's already been written down. See? So then that's what God has done in his word. He's given us the victory. And then he gave us the blueprint so that we can be able to reproduce what Jesus had, what Jesus did. See? He says, but let patience have a perfect work that you may be entire. Wanting nothing. Don't give up on your faith. Okay? Don't let your heart and your mouth be divided. Okay? That's some of the things that we've done. We've perpetually done that because we didn't have confidence that the thing was going to work out exactly for our good. But please, brethren, know this. That's what he says in verse 3. He says, I need for you to know, be assured of something. Because if you're still questioning faith, that's not going to bring you the victory. See? He wants you to be assured that the end that has already been written for your life is going to be walked out by a committed spirit. Okay? Now, if you lack wisdom about this, what he's telling you, ask God. Please don't do what we do, ask other people. There was a song that was sung in my day. The emotion said, don't ask my neighbors. Don't ask the friends I hang around. If you want to know something, ask me. See? So God is saying, if you want to know something, ask him. And as you ask him, watch these things, he says, because God gives to every man wisdom liberally. And he's not mad because you ask. He doesn't upbraid. And it says, and when you ask through faith, he's going to bring that up. He says, when you ask the right way, it shall be. You know, the word shall is an absolute imperative. Okay? If you lack wisdom and you talk to God, he didn't ask you to talk to your mother. He didn't ask you to talk to your brother. He said, talk to God. Now, when you ask God, God might send confirmation through your brother, sister, pastor. That confirmation, beloved, God wants us to work the word that he spoke. Okay? I don't have an issue with you getting confirmation in the mouth of two or three witnesses. We're going to study that scripture in just a minute. But that's confirmation. That's not inspiration. Okay? Because there is a spirit in man, the book of Job says. He says, and the spirit of man, it says the Almighty talks there. See? There's the inspiration of man. He says the Almighty, not the maybe sometime. He says the Almighty deals with this one. So let me just show you that one. Go back to the book of Job. Because we miss these things. Well, sometimes we don't go back and study scripture from the Old Testament to the New. We just like the New Testament because it reads good, and we don't speak Elizabethan anyway. Okay? So then why am I doing that? Okay? So listen to what he says in chapter 32. The scripture is in verse 8, but I'm going to come into it from verse 7. This is what some of Job's friends was telling him, and this young guy said that, I'm going to let age speak. I'm going to let years speak first, okay? Days should speak. And multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding. See that? There's a spirit in man that's supposed to be connected to God and get information from God. The Almighty gives understanding. Okay? So that's some of the things that we should know. That God wants you to if you lack wisdom, talk to the one that is always going to speak from the position of power, the Almighty. Okay? That's just something for us to kind of, you know, think about and remember so that we can empower our hearts. The position of might, okay? We don't have to, okay, from the position of strength, not the position of might possible, okay? That's that might. See? I mean, beloved, you have been given a guaranteed result spoken by the Almighty. Amen. Guaranteed result. Doesn't matter what your friends think, what the devil do. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. It stands. Okay? So he said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who's going to give to men, all men liberally. Wait a minute. So he's going to give you wisdom each and every time. Not in a liberal amount. See, he's going to do it every time. You know, sometimes I guess we get tired. So what we do is we tell people not to come back. God's not like that. We didn't get that from God. God says he gives liberally. For God so loved, see, that he gave. That's the dimension that God wants to give. Okay? From the solar dimension. Amen. Doesn't matter how many times you go to God and ask him for wisdom, he's going to dip into the solar cauldron and give that wisdom to you liberally. And he's not going to be mad because you asked. And he says, and when you do this, it shall be given him. But let the man ask in faith. So then God just coupled faith to wisdom, didn't he? Amen. See? And there are times that we might not think we deserve it. Okay? But this scripture here throws that away, doesn't it? He said he's going to give it to all men liberally. And he's not mad because you asked. But ask in faith without wavering. For if you are wavering, you are like the wave of the sea, and you are driven with the wind and tossed. Now, if you're trying to receive something, and the wind is driving you, moving you, throwing you hither, thither, and yonder, and you are being tossed, that means your orientation changes. Okay? What that means is you're out of position. Okay? If you're being tossed and driven, you're simply out of position. That's why Ephesians 6 said, having done all to stand, stand there. For you will receive. You see that? I separated that word so that you can understand. Stand therefore. Okay? You're supposed to be in the position that God has placed you that gives faith the opportunity to ask. That gives confidence an opportunity to request. You don't have to beg God, beloved. You don't have to beg God. Faith, oh, that's good, sir. Faith speaks to God on the God level. I hope you saw that. See, faith always speaks to God on the God level. Faith doesn't speak to God on the level of immaturity. I hope I can get it, but you're going to try to catch something in a position where you're being tossed to and fro. You got to remember, this has already been written. You know what the end is going to be. The game is going to be won by the team that you saw the game at the end win. It's going to be won by that team every time. 3 years from now, you can go back to that same recording, and the same team is going to win. See? That's what we should know and understand. Let him ask in faith, no wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea. Wait a minute, y'all. I ain't thought about that right now. Notice he said, the man is like the wave of the sea. And if you try to walk on seawater, it is very unstable. Yeah. It was not meant to hold you up. Peter actually, technically, walked on the word. Because Jesus said, he said, if it be you, Jesus, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. Peter was actually walking on the word, come. Okay? The word come holds up the wave. Do you see that? Because everything that was made by that word. There was nothing that was made that was not made by that word. So then Peter was actually walking on that word. He was sustained by that word. And you, beloved, should be, must be sustained by that same word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word from God's lips will sustain you. You can live off of the ands and the buts if you find out why they're there. Amen. So he says, if you're going to be doubting, then you're going to be tossed to and fro like a wave. A wave doesn't know which direction it's going to end up going because it is contingent upon the wind. It is contingent upon the what the forces that are driving it. And he says about this man that's wavering, this man that does not have any real support. This man, he says, don't let this man even think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Notice he took us to the wave of the sea, which does not support your victory. I didn't say you couldn't get to your victory because of the waves. I said it doesn't support your victory. See? The wave moves you. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 19, it says, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So then the Lord's going to move you like a flood. I hate the way that reads in the King James, because it might look like the flood has all the power. No, it says when the enemy comes in, comma, this is what's going to happen next. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift up a banner. Okay? Just rightly discern that word. Because the devil has been defeated. He doesn't have power of floods in my life. He just told us that the man that asks in faith without wavering will not be like the wave of the sea that's driven by the wind and tossed. See? I don't have to live my life that way. I don't have to live my life on if and stance. I can live my life on the word of God. That's forever settled in the heavens. See, this is seeing then. See, I'm not looking at my circumstances to determine my outcome. I'm looking at the word of God to determine my outcome. Do you lack wisdom? Ask of God, who's going to give to all men liberally and not upbraid, and it shall be given to him. What's going to be given to him? A word of wisdom. Okay? Seeing then. Okay? So he wants us to be settled. He wants us to be secure, tossed, and driven. Our thinking and the inward conversations of our lives, they give God access to bring to pass the things that should happen. Even yet, excuse me, the things that must happen. God watches over his word to perform that word. When you hold on to that word will be fulfilled in your life. There's no two ways about it. See, that's the way God set it up. Excuse me. It's even interesting that God gave the waves of the sea a command that they should not pass this point. Wow. I mean, otherwise we would be in a drowning position all the time. Over three quarters of the earth is water, but it doesn't come up on the land except there is a directive from God that it can do so. See? Because the seashore stops the water. Just think about that, you know? So God wants you to be able to guarantee the victories that he's already assigned for your life. You walk and confirm them, and you confirm them by speaking. God watches over his word to perform it. See, the devil is just looking for opportunities where you give up on the word. He's seeking those he can devour. See, that tells me he cannot devour everybody. He's seeking for the ones that's going to give up on the word. See, your request to God, it is heard by your mouth, what you speak, but it's also read by your lifestyle. See, you can't say one thing and live another. You can't say the thing of faith and then live a life of doubt and then live a life of fear, because your victory is going to come by you walking out the word. Beloved, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. So that's what God wants you to know. Your lifestyle speaks. And if the devil sees you living a life that's in fear, then he can withhold all of the good that God has already promised for your life, because you're not asking in faith. You're asking wavering like a wave of the sea that has no support. See? The devil is busy. He's busy because he knows his time is short. He's not busy because he's effective. He's only effective if we give him the power by abandoning the word or having fear that the word's not going to happen in my life. See? Numbers chapter 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? See, he's watching over that word, and it doesn't matter what the word has to go through to get to you. Come on now. He knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits and no restraints. Okay? But you have to allow the word to be formed in your heart, formed in your life. Okay, the word, it's going to have to be in a couple of places, okay? The word has to be active in your heart. It has to be spoken by your mouth and confirmed by your body. okay? When I say confirmed by your body, I mean the direction that your body goes in, not the confirmed by the attack that you might be under. See, because that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to confirm the word that you've heard, the fear that you've experienced from him by your body. Surely he got that from someplace. He didn't make up anything. He didn't come up with any original ideas. He's an imposter. So then God's idea was for your body. Okay, yes, I knew I was going to go here. Your body it has the ability to speak for you the victory that God wants you to have. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. The word has to be active in a couple of places. See, I'm not asking you to quote, and then go back and live in fear and doubt. See, that does no. You're going to be moved. You don't have any support. See, wave. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 5, verse. This is talking about Jesus, and it was talking about him at the time of. Well, let's go there. See that. Let's go there. See that. Back up. Come on. Back up. Back up. Back up. Okay, well, oh Lord Jesus, let's just go ahead and do the whole chapter. Start at verse 1, all right? Starting at verse 1. Here's what he says. Talking about the high priest. Every high priest is taken from among men, and he was ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for he himself is also compassed about with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought to, as for the people, also for himself, offer for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as Aaron was. So also Christ glorified not himself, but to be made a high priest, but that he said unto him, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when we heard he offered prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that is able to save him from death. So this is talking about Calvary. See? That it was heard that he feared because of the tears, strong crying. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned what? Let's deal with digging that right there. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. Okay. Does that say to you that he learned obedience because he was caught in the midst of stuff? Or does that say to you, here's one thing I learned, y'all. That we should always look for the love of God in every scripture. Look for and find the love of God, okay? So God is not, wow, we already left James. We're going to come back to James. I had thought about that because it's going to say that. God is not trying to teach you anything through the circumstances. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. The things that he suffered basically confirmed in Jesus' spirit the word of God that was spoken. Because in this time when Jesus was going through, there was a promise that Jesus already knew. He's told the disciples, he says, no man can take my life. I lay it down and I pick it up again. So was Jesus scared? But he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. It came to steal from him faith, but he held on to it and learned to be obedient to faith. Did you see that? Okay. I mean, Jesus was not up there having fear, because that's not a spirit that came from God. See? I mean, we don't find the love of God. We just found an occasion to say, well, the same thing is going to happen to me. Find the love, because when you find the love, you'll always find the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How did you get that faith? God gave you faith. He gave to every man the measure of faith. You see, if I find the love, I'll find the victory. This was not trying to show us, okay, he was not trying to show us the weakness of Jesus. He was showing us the ability that we had to win because of what Jesus did. Okay? He learned obedience by the things, not from the things. Kind of look at it a little bit different. Then he says this, and being made perfect, he became the author of what? Eternal salvation unto them that obey him. The salvation that is eternal does not become effective if you don't do what? If you don't obey. He didn't say if you succumb. Hear my heart. See? You learn wisdom from the things that by which you suffered, and then he became the author of eternal salvation unto those that obey his walk of faith. Not his mullygrubs in the situation. See? All right, let's just do some things. When we were first created, we were created above trouble, because he told us, created us day one, have dominion, be fruitful, multiply. Okay, that's good, sir. He told us to be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. Did he want you to multiply fear? If he wanted you to multiply fear, then he would not have told you to have dominion, would he? He didn't say make dominion. He said have it. Okay? There was no work involved. It was handed to us. Or better yet, we were crowned with glory and honor. So the glory that you were crowned with wins every time. So then what do I have to fight for if glory is already victorious? I was crowned with that. I should think from that position, crowned. See? So again, when you read scripture, find the love of God. Receive the love of God. Operate in the love of God. Don't give your flesh a reason to fall back unto failure and doom and darkness. Find the love of God, because the love of God never fails. He became the author of eternal salvation. The word eternal gives me the understanding that it has to take care of my now, or it couldn't be eternal. Yes? See? So God wants us to operate in this eternal salvation every day. Why? Because it is eternal. Called of God, verse 10, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say. And these things that we're going to have to say, they are hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. Got a lot of stuff he wants to talk to us about. He wants to show us. He wants to tell us. But our hearing is dull. Because we're seeing from the position of and through the lens of my trial and my tribulation. And that has made my hearing of faith dull. How? Because I thought this is just, it was ordained for me to go through this because I'm a man. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulations, but the word but, I understand it to be a Holy Ghost eraser, meaning that everything that was spoken before the but is now gone. Think of whatever that was spoken in reference of the things that are said after the but. I have overcome the world. You in this world, you have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We need to find the love of God. When you see the scripture, embrace the love of God. Okay, I'm going to finish this. Then we're going to go right over to the book of James. I've got to get to that. Watch this. You're dull of hearing. I mean, okay, let's try this. So didn't he say, if any man does not have, doesn't, is lacking wisdom, then let him ask of God, who gives to every man liberally. He's going to give it to you liberally. But if you're dull of hearing, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But if you're dull of hearing, there probably won't be much profit from what you heard. You see, God's not mad at you. He just wants you to continue to hear truth that will cause freedom. Don't hear, well, I just got to go through. Here, he made me victorious in all things. Watch this. And because you are dull of hearing, for in the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Well, one of the first principles of the oracles of God, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, would be love, wouldn't it? Because he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And thou, who are hearing this, shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love was the first oracle of God. Amen. He didn't tell them to seek him and receive victory. He told him to hear that love is the primary thing. Jesus came and said the same thing. He said love is the greatest of all of the commandments. He says on the what all the commandments hinge on love. All of them. Nothing in the spiritual realm works well without love. Nothing. God sent love, a God so loved that he sent his only begotten son. He sent love. It all starts with love. When Jesus was born, it says, now this is what happened. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Love was speaking. The goodwill was towards men. Peace was now on the earth. I ain't got to go through the hell because peace is here. See? But I have, when I get dull of hearing, I have need that someone would teach me again the first oracles of God. And because of that, I become one that has need of milk and not strong meat. I keep going, I keep going around trying to lap up my victories instead of sitting at the table where strong meat is served. See? Why is that? Because strong meat, wait a minute, for everyone that is that uses milk, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. If any man lack wisdom, ask of God, and he's going to give it to you liberally. But ask in faith, no wavering. Stop going back to the milk. Receive the strong meat of the word. For everyone that uses, come on, everyone that uses milk, come on, look at that. You had two choices on the table, strong meat or milk, and you grab for the milk. Will it comfort you? Yes. But you could have had strong meat and been victorious. Comfort is one thing. Victory is quite another. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. I'll go to the word, but I don't use the word to end up in victory. I'm unskillful in the word of righteousness. I'm unskillful in the word that told me I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly, those that walk in the righteousness, not those that are milk toters. Okay? Those that will use strong meat. Why? Why? Because the ones that use milk have refused to grow up because they are a babe. They keep going to God and asking God to do things that he's already done, asking God to give them things that he already given them. They are babes, unskillful in the word of righteousness. They are babes. They keep making a mess. And ask God, would you clean up this mess? Unskillful in the word of righteousness. Because everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth unto them who are of full age, even them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. See, you exercise your senses. Your emotions, things that are subject to the way you feel, what you see. Those are sensory. A sensory perception. Smell, feel, touch, hear, see. Okay? He says the one that uses strong meat, he has exercised even his senses to know the difference between good and evil.
Wow.
See? So then I won't have a thought process that says, I think I need God to do this. My senses have been exercised. I know the difference between good and evil. I'm going to walk upright, knowing that nothing will be withheld from me. I'm skillful in the word of righteousness. No, I'm not trying to abuse it, misuse it. I know how to use it. I'm skillful in the word of righteousness. I know where I sit. I know where I've been made to sit, because he's made me to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in also in the world which is to come. I'm skillful in that. Okay? This is what is required of us as we enter the last days, the last of the last days. See? We're not supposed to be pushed around by the devil, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. We're supposed to be bold as a lion. See? We're supposed to be the ones that take it by force. Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffers righteousness, and the righteous take it by force. They're skillful. They don't back up. The land that they won, the land that they walked unto, they know that's the land that has been given to them. Because the soles of their feet shall trod upon, God has given that to you. So you don't go up one step and back three. Because the place where you're standing is the place of victory, and you go from the place of victory unto victory. From the place of glory unto glory. Strong meat, skillful in the word of righteousness. Turn to James chapter 1, which we're right there. See, because God does not think of taking you to a place that you cannot win at. See, but a child would think that, okay, well, no, I can't do that, and then go backwards. James chapter 12 this time. He says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. Remember, Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered, not from the things he suffered. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Not the man that walls around in the temptation, but the man that knows that the temptation came so that I can display strength. Glory to God. I'm going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. See? I'm not going to be stuck in a temptation trying to get everybody to feel sorry for me. No, blessed is the man that endureth the temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to them which love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. But every man, for God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. For God cannot be tempted and does not tempt to any man. He does not take you to a place where you cannot win. I don't care what the sin is. He took you there. He allowed it to be there so that you can see victory. Find the love of God and you'll find victory. Let no man say, when I'm tempted with God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He's outside of the plan, the path of God. He says, well, maybe if I do this. He's walking in a maybe, in an if and, rather than walking in the promise of grace, the promise of love. See, like, you know, when they say that there are people that they thought that they had rose petals strewn at their feet, well, God has caused love to engulf us, including our feet. So that every place that we step, we're stepping by the power of love. We're stepping by the victory of love. I'm not trying to walk. Come on, that's good, sir. I'm not trying to walk in a test because God does not tempt any man. So why am I trying to walk in a test? Help me out. Seeing then. Okay? My senses have been exercised to know the difference between good and evil. And God is good all the time. He's not, there's not evil in him at all. So why do I think that the test is the thing God sent me to so that I can display I'm weak? He allows tests so that I can display my, excuse me, display his strength. The Holy Ghost led Jesus to the wilderness so that strength can be displayed. He did not lead him into the wilderness so that he could lose. Jesus dealt with the enemy by the word of God and said, it is written, thou shalt. Okay? The place of strength. But every man is tempted when he's going away, listen to this, he's going away without the word. He's trying to walk in something, the word, he's trying to walk in something the word has not given him support in. He's walking premature or as a babe. A babe don't know what the next step is. See? And bless God, he'll save us. I love it. He saved Peter. Peter walked on the water for a minute, but then he saw stuff he wasn't supposed to be looking at. He saw the winds. He heard the wind. He heard the wind, saw the waves. And he remembered that water like this is hard for us to be in. And then it says, beginning to sink. Peter hadn't even got down by his knees, probably. He was just by his feet, beginning to sink. Is it help? Jesus reached God and got him and said, wherefore did you doubt? How is it that you have no faith? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This looks like a good way. This looks like a good thing. My steps are ordered of the Lord. I don't have to walk in look like. Amen. See? I can walk in the full counsel of God. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift, anything that comes from God is going to be first good and then perfect. If it's coming from above, okay? If it's coming from me, probably going to fall. I'm double-minded. I'm functioning on the wave of a sea that has no support. Okay? So, see, the word of God has to be alive in multiple places, not just quote it over and over again. You have to purpose that this word that you heard is going to be what you live by. Come on, there you go. This word that you heard is going to be what you live by. See? That there is no plan B, that this is the word you're going to live by. I'm holding on to this word, for it is my life. That's what Jesus said, that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So then that word now becomes my life. I begin to see myself seeing then. I begin to see myself walking in that. I rehearse it over and over in my mind. That's what he told Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Why? Because then you will observe to do. You will see how to do. The first time you meditate on a word, it might not mean nothing. The 15th time that you meditate on the word, not that you just quote it. You see what Jesus did, how Jesus did. You become them who are of full age. That you begin to then walk out and say, there's no way I could fail. I've already seen the end. It's already been recorded, and I'm simply going to walk to the end of the thing. This is the victory that's won in multiple places, in your thinking, in your speech, and in your body. You don't even try to walk towards the thing that the devil defeated you at last time. You repented of that, which means you turned and walked the other way. See? Exercise your senses to know the difference between good and evil. I don't have a thought that says it's probably going to be okay because God loves me and God knows my heart. I don't have that thought. I'm those who are of full age. And I say, I always do the things that please him. I delight in your will so I can do it, O Lord. Your word, if I hear it in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I might not be without a portion, be without a mark. Okay? If I don't have that in my heart, I'm going to miss the mark. I'll probably throw the mark away, let alone miss it. I remember the times in my life when I thought sin was great. The word of God makes sin like a black and white thing. There's no gray. There's no ambiguity in it. None. See? Either I walk in the spirit or I walk in the flesh. And if I walk in the spirit, turn over to the Galatians chapter 5. See? Let's hear what he says again. See? We don't see it in two places. Huh. Yeah. Chapter 5. He says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But he said, this is what you need to do. Walk in the spirit. And when you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm a bit playing with the sin and thinking I can resist it or it's, oh God don't forgive me. I'm playing with it. He says, no. Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the end of the thing. walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you could not do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, then you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, he said, they are manifest. You can see them. Easy to recognize. Okay? You don't have to be spiritual. He said the lust of the flesh would be manifest. Okay? So before you trip over it, you'll see it. It'll be manifest. Okay? Turn over there to Ephesians. Chapter 4. Verse 17. And he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, thinking that you can do it and you'll be all right, thinking that God gonna forgive you because he knows you. He said, this I say and testify in the Lord, don't walk that way. That's the way Gentiles walk, those who have no covenant with God. See? They walk in the vanity of their minds, and they have the understanding darkened. And they are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. The devil's counting on that. He's counting on that ignorance to bring you to the place of failure. But he said, I'm testifying in God that you ain't got to walk that way. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He gives us the preordained steps that we should walk in. That you are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you've not so learned Christ. If it be that you heard him and have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, because you're members one of another. Be angry, sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. You can keep on reading the rest of that. See, you could continue to walk in the I can't do no better, God knows my heart, or you can walk in truth. Be those who are of full age, no longer a babe who use milk, but be those who are use strong meat. And by reason of that use, you exercise your senses to know the difference between good and evil, so that you can be set up for victory all the time, that you can be set up for the position of teaching, because you should be a teacher by now. But you want to use milk and excuse sin. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you to grow up in all things. He's waiting on you to purpose in your heart that you're going to walk so that you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Yes, beloved, you can do it. He equipped you to win, and he equipped you to win forever. Your way or God's way? He's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you. We bless you for showing us the clarity of your word to help us have a resolve in our spirit to walk in righteousness, to be skillful in the word of righteousness, to partake of strong meat so that we can walk worthy of our vocation, so that we can then enjoy good at your hand by your word. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, as we always do, I want to give you an opportunity to just ask any questions or make any comments about the ministry tonight. Area code 770-843-1578. You have the mic. Area code 770-843-1578. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight?
Yes, amen. You said that I have a question for you. You said there were three ways that the word of God must be confirmed. What were those three ways that the word of God must be confirmed?
In our lives, it must be confirmed in our heart, in our mouth, and then by our body or our actions.
Thank you.
Because just like he said, if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you will confirm that word, won't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I guess some of the things that we've done is, we've excused it because we might have been taught that way in the church that we came from. You know, they told you that nobody's perfect. Well, Jesus is the one that asked us, commanded us. He said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. So what he's telling us is that we can walk in his way, and that will cause perfection to be established in us. We will then have those senses be exercised to know the difference between good and evil, between strong and weak. See, why did we get saved? To remain weak Christians. The word Christians by itself means Christ-likened. So he wasn't weak, and if we're going to be like him, then we're not supposed to be weak, living in weakness. We should live in strength, strive for strength, increase in strength. Isn't that what it says in Isaiah 40? They that wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. So he wants us to increase in strength so that we can then increase the footprint that he's giving us. And every place that the soles of our feet trod, that's what he's given. We'll go out and make disciples then. It'll be easy because they'll see the power of God and the love of God working in us because that active word is in our heart, in our mouth, and in our bodies. Amen. Did that answer it for you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the call. Amen. Area code 404-536-7829. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry?
Well, yeah, just another good word, and I appreciate your time. I appreciate your wisdom, insight, and understanding, and sharing it with us as we grow in the Lord. I really appreciate it.
Amen. That's what I'm here for. That's what God has called us to do. One another. Iron is supposed to sharpen iron. Glory to God. And the interesting thing is that when that scripture is quoted, cited, it's not saying, he didn't say, good iron perfects good iron. He didn't say, a sharp iron sharpens sharp iron. He said, iron sharpens iron. So every place in this Bible, two of it. He's wanting us to hear the word, heed the word, so that we can do the word. Amen. Amen. I see that we have people to drop off again. I don't know why they don't want to let their voice be heard, because we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. You know, I found out that questions cannot be in error. Questions are one of the tools that God uses to cause us to become sharper, because questions generally receive answers, and then answers can be walked out. Amen. So I've never heard a stupid or silly question, because it's simply the point of starting the path of victory in your life personally. So again, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, or if you've been challenged to grow in any way, please allow God to reveal to you how you can be a blessing to this ministry through the ministry of giving. That's what it says. If you've received of our spiritual things, then it's no big deal that you should give of your natural resources, your natural things. So go to the website, livedeliverance.com, find the donate tab, and sow the seed that God reveals to you. Because we're only on the air because of the generous gifts and love offerings. We'd also like to thank all the cyber members here at livedeliverance.com for seeking the Lord for and partnering with us to take the gospel to all the world. We'd also like to remind you that you can invite your friends, family members, or coworkers to join in, where they can listen and participate on the broadcast every Monday night from 9 to around 10:30, as we all grow in faith and fellowship in the Spirit right here at livedeliverance.com. So until the next time that we are gathered together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face, make his face shine upon thee. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up the countenance of his face, and give you his peace. So until next time, shalom.